This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at the wheat markets for Wednesday, March 15th. Well, we had a pretty impressive day yesterday in wheat. Strong day higher led by Kansas City as we finally got past that $8 mark on a closing basis, and we spent almost the whole session up there as well. We started out a little bit weaker, but then the market surged higher and just kept pushing higher and holding those gains throughout this session. So we close well above that $8 mark on the front month Kansas City at 817 and three quarter. So I think this underscores probably that we've found a bottom, at least from a seasonal perspective. Market is showing some signs of strength here. It wouldn't surprise me to see the downward momentum kind of reemerge here with some sort of a pullback, but I think at worst we get back down to that $8 mark again. So it was a swing low, and then it held the market for several days. Yesterday we finally break above it, so if we're going to come back down, that would be the point I would look for the market to hold, is right at that $8 to 802, right in there. I think we're going to move higher for the next few weeks as we look at the growing season well underway in the Southern Plains. We just do not see any relief in the near term, at least. And you know, you're getting into the last half of March. It's already been dry since last fall. In Texas, it's probably getting to the point where it's already too late for most of that state. And even Oklahoma and southwest Kansas, still some time to, you know, revive that crop, but it needs a drink, and it needs it now. And we really just simply have no weather premium in this market at all. We don't have any war premium in the market. Things are heating up quite a bit over in Ukraine. And so I think, considering the sell-off that we've already had, the time of year that it is, I just don't think pressing wheat to the downside is the place to be at this point. It's we're just not getting the rain, and you're already in a tenuous situation with the quality of the wheat and the crop conditions. You know, if those rains don't come soon, that's just going to get even worse. Speaking of weather, it is official. La Nina is over. Believe it or not, after three grueling years, we can finally close the chapter on this round of La Nina. Boy, it has been a battle. And, you know, Australia definitely has benefited from it, but pretty much everybody else has suffered at the hands of this La Nina. The Australian Weather Bureau is projecting that El Nino has about a 50% chance of forming by summer. That's going to be too late for the hard red winter wheat crop in the plains. Might give some support to corn and soybeans. We'll just have to see. But I think that the big takeaway is we can finally say goodbye to La Nina and at least have some confidence that weather is going to get back, or we're at least going to see more rains coming into the, you know, central plains, into the Midwest here for this growing season. We've got, also speaking of weather, NASA's GRACE-based root zone soil moisture index. That's a mouthful, but it is showing that, of course, it's reflecting the dry conditions in the U.S. Southern Plains, but it does stretch up into the western central plains and up into the southwest part of the northern plains. That's worth noting. It also shows some dryness at the root zone in Central Europe. It shows it in North Africa. It shows it in China, across the key North China Plain region. So that's worth noting as well. So I think that's important. Obviously, this is, again, the root zone soil moisture index, and it gives us a kind of a snapshot of what the moisture situation is as we head into the growing season. So it's not all that abundant when you look around the northern hemisphere. So we'll, you know, obviously this time of year we really hone in on where the weather is happening, what kind of moisture and rains are falling across the northern hemisphere, and that season has begun. And again, we've been dry since last fall in the southern plains for hard red winter wheat, and I think if nothing else, that's going to continue to support Kansas City until we see it rain in there. And I think Kansas City will be the leader to the upside. As I've mentioned the last couple days, Minneapolis is probably going to have to make a stand here to protect its acreage base against corn and soybeans, which are very attractive even at these price levels. But the insurance rates are pretty high, and that's going to attract some acres, I think. So spring wheat could be kind of a sleeper here. Moisture conditions are pretty good across the northern plains, so it wouldn't be a weather-driven market, which would happen later in the season. This will be right in front of us as producers make their final decisions on what they're going to do with acres. And spring wheat has really not been able to make much of a stand here. It's kind of flopped around along with the rest of the winter wheats. But you know, as we start hearing more chatter about where acres are going, and we're hearing a lot of chatter about farmers looking pretty hard at corn, it still is the highest attractive return, and it's definitely going to be something that's on the list if you're in North Dakota, Minnesota, South Dakota, northern South Dakota, at least, where you're growing spring wheat. These are areas that could switch over to corn. And again, I think that spring wheat might find itself in a bit of a quandary here. So just some things to keep in mind. And again, with the kind of sell-off we've already had, I think we have found a seasonal low, and buying the breaks would be the place to be for the next few weeks in the wheat space, and in the corn space for that matter. If you have any questions, feel free to call 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.